This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Columbia Tire Sales, Pella Corporation, and Skuring and Utermart. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Van Manen, Seedster, Meyer & Nickel, Crossroads of Pella, and Iowa State Savings Bank. Enjoy the program.
Some of us have problems with sensory integration. What is sensory integration? And if there are problems, what can we do about them? In the fourth part of a 10-part program on health and wealth, let's go in-depth with Kelly Decius, occupational therapist at Pella Regional Health Center. Kelly, what do you do at Pella Regional?
I'm an occupational therapist in the rehab department.
And you wanted to talk about sensory integration. What's sensory integration?
Yeah, so sensory integration is a set of systems in our body, and the way our bodies take in sensory input. So we have our five senses, but then actually we have one more that our body relies on to organize and help us to interpret the information that the world is giving us all the time, all around us. So sensory integration starts happening sometimes even before we're born, but when we're born, and then all the way through death. So we never lose all of our senses, and we're able to use them to help organize information in the world around us.
All right, and I presume that some of us do better at this with respect to interacting in our specific environments than others?
Yes. So, you know, typically whenever you look at someone's sensory system, if you can think of like a bell curve, for the most of us, we sit in the fat part of that bell curve, which is normal. We are taking the information around us. We're able to filter things out that aren't beneficial to what we're doing. We're able to take input in, and we're able to use that information to process our world and continue functioning through our job or through our school day or just through life in general. But sometimes there are individuals that fall on either one end or the other of that bell curve. So we say in occupational therapy, they might be seeking, or they might be not taking in enough information in their environment, or they might be defensive. So that means they can't filter out the information that's coming to them in their environment. And those, whenever individuals are on the outlying areas of that bell curve, then that creates problems. They have disorganization in their thought process. They have an inability maybe to sit still. Common textures or foods, they just are not able to tolerate. So those are the individuals that we want to help. We want to be able to make their world tolerable and help them so that they can organize and be able to think and be able to communicate and be able to process the world that they live in.
Okay, and so how does it manifest itself?
So it kind of depends. There's lots of different ways that it can manifest itself. And so the common signs that people might see is my child or I can't sit still through the day. Maybe certain textures really bother me. I only wear a certain kind of t-shirt, or my socks have got to be on just right. I'm a very picky eater. My child's a very picky eater. There are three foods that they'll eat and that's it. Other ways are maybe they're really loud talkers, or they seem to crash into things and get hurt all the time. So those are symptoms that maybe there's something going on. And you know, I say that all of us we're all on the sensory spectrum somewhere, but like I said, it's those blips, those things that kind of disrupt our day, that maybe they can't sleep well, they don't sleep well at night, and those are the outliers that we look at, because those are the things that start disrupting our ability just to live a typical life.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Vanderbeek Truck Accessories, Motor and Auto Group, and Kevin Wadley, CPA. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player at kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, the Knoxville Hy-Vee, Knoxville Raceway, and Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham.
I continued my conversation about sensory integration with Kelly Decius, occupational therapist at Pella Regional Health Center. It's mainly with kids?
Well, it starts a lot of times with kids, but definitely those things can follow you into adulthood as well. Sometimes if you have a neurological event, if you have a stroke or you have an amputation, there can be a disruption to your sensory system as well. And so we start seeing that, you know, individuals, even in treatment, if they've had a hand surgery, they become really sensitive to certain textures, or they don't want to bend their whatever their appendage because it hurts. It's painful. So, you know, there's been a disruption to their sensory system, and we work on what's called desensitization. And basically, you know, for adults with that particular situation, we have sensory boxes, and we make them go through beans and rice, and they look at us like we're half crazy because we're asking them to go through lots of different textures and to basically retrain their brain. You know, and in other situations with kids at school throughout their day, we might be able to help them to come up with different activities so that they're able to learn better. So it really, it's very individualized. It depends on the person. Then we look, basically when they come into the clinic, we do what's called a sensory profile. Especially on kids, we use a standardized test called Sensory Profile 2 that's given to parents or caregivers, sometimes teachers, sometimes individuals that are an active part of their world. Those are all scored. We look at them and say, okay, they're over-processing auditory input. So maybe things are louder, things that we would see or hear as a normal decibel, they're 10 times louder to them, or things like that. And so we're able to help them to come up with modifications, adaptations to their environment so that they're able to function at a basketball game without really getting agitated, or they're able to attend during class. So, you know, like I said, it really depends on the individual. We don't ever blanket statement anyone, because not one thing will fix every person. And so we look at an individual treatment plan for each person, and we're able to help them follow through. We might say, okay, let's try this intervention first, and then the next week, well, that didn't really work. Or maybe, you know, I'm still really defensive. It still really hurts whenever I touch that texture. Okay, let's try something else. So it's very individualized, but, you know, I think as with social media and things like that, we're coming to a point in our world where we're educated consumers, and so we're understanding more about those things. But at the same time, it's really helpful to have the evaluation and the clinical judgment of an occupational therapist to help you sort through different things that might be happening in you or your child's environment, so that we can help get specific interventions that will help.
Now, is this, I've been reading about weighted blankets and people putting heavy blankets on them. Is this part of some of the treatment?
Yeah, actually it is. And so that's one of the big trends for Christmas. I've seen a couple of things. I've seen the weighted blanket, and I think actually Kohl's was selling them. And I kind of looked into it. They were selling them and they sold out. So people are really understanding that, hey, maybe this might help me with sleep. It might help me with relaxation. People with anxiety disorder might really benefit from this. But you know, where I would really encourage you in this specific example is there is a certain ratio that you're supposed to have for your weighted blankets. There are some contraindications of things that you shouldn't do with your weighted blanket. So definitely before you just have a blanket statement that, you know, oh yes, this will help me, get the advice of an expert. Go to an occupational therapist. We're specifically educated to help people to understand, yes, this might help, but it also might be contraindicated, and we sure wouldn't want that to happen.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Great Western Bank and Sully, American Family Insurance agent Phil Griffin, and Anytime Fitness in Pella. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you'd like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Two Rivers Cooperative, Pella Regional Health Center, and Marion County Bank.
I continued my conversation about sensory integration with Kelly Decius, occupational therapist at Pella Regional Health Center. With kids especially mm-hmm. with young kids, just don't put weighted blankets on
them. Oh yeah, absolutely not. It might seem like a good idea that helps your baby get to sleep better or your young child to get to sleep, but there, we wouldn't want to ever have a weighted blanket that's too heavy that could depress their respiratory system. It could actually have some negative impacts. The other aspect to that too is your brain can start accommodating to it. So if you overuse an apparatus like a weighted blanket, basically what happens is it helps your brain to release a neurochemical that helps you to to be able to concentrate. However, as your brain accommodates to that, then it might not work as well. So it might work for a little while, but if you're using it for multiple hours in the day, then it's going to decrease its efficacy over time. And so we sure wouldn't want that, because we want you to be able to have a long-term intervention. And, you know, ultimately what we want your brain to do is to start producing those neurochemicals on their own, so that you're able to regulate in a normal environment.
Is it possible that we're living, especially kids, they're in a very artificial environment with respect to, you know, our history? They're in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And that's a very restricted environment, and that maybe it's that environment that's the issue, not the kid.
Well, you know, I think you talk to any occupational therapist, and they would probably agree that there are definitely some things that we're pushing from a very early age, and it's not that they're not beneficial. They are. However, we are definitely pushing our children to be able to do things before really they're developmentally ready. And so, you know, we know that there's been an increase in certain diagnoses, and I would never say that it is the environment that is causing that. However, I definitely think it's not helping it. So, you know, myself, I have two kids that are diagnosed with ADHD. And so from that standpoint, you know, they need to be able to move and to be able to learn better. I've been very thankful to educators who understand that need for them to be able to move, to explore their environment from a different viewpoint. The fact that we're asking kids to write and cut from a standpoint that even before they're in school, they're expected to write their name. And really, their hands are not dexterous enough. They need to spend, you know, more time from an occupational therapy standpoint exploring their environment and through multi-sensory environments. So maybe writing on different surfaces, or not expecting them to write as long without movement breaks. We're asking, you know, little ones to sit for long periods of time. And from our standpoint, it would be more beneficial if they were still learning in those environments, but they were able to move or to stand. You know, a lot of classroom teachers have really taken up using balls for the kids to sit on, large balls, and I think that's a great intervention. They are doing a lot of things right. However, there are some kids, again, that are on the outliers of that normal sensory that might just need a little bit extra, a little bit more help, a few more interventions to really help them to understand their environment better.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by the Pella Indoor Pool, Newton Village, Culver's of Pella, and Edward Jones Financial Advisors in Pella. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, IntelliSense of Pella, Community First Credit Union mortgage originator Amanda Krenz, iHealth Solutions, and Mercy Clinics Indianola.
I continued my conversation about sensory integration with Kelly Decius, occupational therapist at Pella Regional Health Center. Who should come to talk with you? I mean, under what circumstances, if the kid isn't learning?
That's one of them.
What else?
Yeah, if the kid isn't learning, if the kid is exhibiting behaviors at school or at home, you know, it can be in a variety of settings. I laugh and say that Walmart is like the mecca of seeing kids who are not integrating into their environment well. And I don't know what it is. I don't bash Walmart. Walmart's fine. However, if it's that there is an overload of products there, or maybe the lighting, it's a loud, echoey environment, so there's a lot of things that all hit at once. So, you know, kids who are exhibiting behaviors in social situations, or maybe at school, or maybe at home, if there's just anything that you just kind of scratch your head about and say, hey, you know what, that's not quite right. Picky eaters, kids who exhibit odd behaviors like spinning or walking on their toes, or they just can't seem to settle down for the night, they're not good sleepers, things like that are things that we can try to help in occupational therapy from that standpoint. And like I said, it really, our sensory system doesn't stop. And so, you know, yes, early intervention is better. If we can get there early and try to help fix it early, then that's great. But it definitely goes all the way up through the age spectrum as well.
Okay, so let me throw one at you.
Okay.
When I was a kid in elementary school, I couldn't stand to sit in the chair, but I could stand to put my knees on the chair and hang over the back of the chair. And I used to get in trouble for that, but that's where I was most comfortable. Was I displaying something that you could have helped me with?
Well, I definitely, if I had walked into that classroom, I would have said, hey, there's a kid that might be in need of some sensory integration. You know, basically, probably what you were doing at that point is you were trying to take in information, and your brain you weren't able to filter out some of the other background noise. So what you're doing is by sitting on your knees backwards, probably you are increasing what we call your proprioceptive input. So the signals that your body is sending up to your brain to help release those chemicals, to help you to concentrate. And so actually you did OT on yourself, which is awesome. That might be one of the recommendations that we provide is, hey, you know what, maybe if they need to sit in a different situation, or maybe they need to stand, or maybe they need to have rest break, or movement breaks every now and then. And you know, one of my soapbox issues, I guess, is when we have kids who have behavioral concerns and they're just not able to sit still in the classroom and they're not able to complete their work. And then all of a sudden we're taking away recesses because, well, they've got to get their work done sometime. But really, it's kind of an oxymoron because sometimes these kids really need to get out and move. They need to get out and be on the jungle gym and run, you know, for a little while so that they can then come back in and, their brain has released those chemicals, hopefully, and they're able to sit and concentrate and learn to the best of their ability. Now, a lot of times there are other underlying things. There might be learning disabilities going on as well. And so those need to be addressed at the same time. But we always, always encourage, is their sensory system working correctly? Is their vestibular system working correctly? Do they spin? Do they need to sit a different way so that their eyes are able to focus? Are they hearing things maybe louder, or they're not hearing things as well? Do they need to sit at a different place in the classroom? Just things like that that are, kind of for us, those are things that we've been educated on. So we just kind of call them no-brainers, but sometimes they can change the course of a kid's education for sure.
And so when you go to the grocery store or around walking in parks or whatever, and you see kids or even adults sometimes, do you ever say, oh boy, could I help you?
Well, yes, I try to turn it off sometimes because, you don't want to be that weird person that's staring at somebody else's child, but you definitely... at times we laugh, my husband and I, we laugh and say, man, we should hand them a business card or whatever. So yeah, there are kids everywhere that could use our help. And so we just kind of wanted to get the word out that, hey, you know what, if there is something that you're concerned about or whatever, definitely get in with an occupational therapist that can help assess that for sure.
Thanks to Kelly Decius for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com, on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIA KRLS.